Bible, turn with me this morning to Galatians chapter number 5. I know I took a little time, but it takes me a minute to transition and get my mind into the preaching mode. When you only have just a few minutes to preach and you've got an hour message, you have to improvise a little bit. So today, when they told me that they would be talking about the graduates today and kind of sort of themed towards the graduates today, me not knowing exactly how many would be here, several days ago, the Lord did lay something on my heart that I wanted to share with you today. So in Galatians chapter number 5, I want to read this text before I get into it. But I want to preach a message today to you just simply entitled, Cross the Finish Line. Now, I could use a lot of analogies. I could use a lot of scripture. I could use a lot of stuff. So if I leave out about half of what I've studied, y'all forgive me, okay? And I may not get to all of it today, but I want to get to most of it. And we look here in the scripture in Galatians chapter number 5. The thing that he opened up, very first word of Galatians chapter 5 is, and I may not get nowhere beyond this text too much this morning, but I'll do my best to move quickly. He opens up and he says these words. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which again, Paul was talking about ceremonial rites, the Jewish things, the legalism of the day. But stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made us free. And the Bible says, if the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, Paul is talking about the law, the Jewish law, the law of the Old Testament. And if Christ has set you free, you're no longer into the bondage to the law, but you're walking in the day and the dispensation of grace. You're walking in that Christ Jesus through his blood, they sang that song, has set you free by his blood, and you no longer have to attain to those particular ceremonial laws in order for you to be a servant of God. That's the first part of that message in a nutshell. And then in verse number 3 and 4, he says, if you do these laws and if you hold to these laws to be justified, then Christ himself, in verse number 4, we see that has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. In other words, it's not by grace that you saved. Your goodness and your merit is in keeping of the law. That's what Paul was saying in this. And then he says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Somebody say, by faith. That's tonight's message. We'll get into that tonight. Verse 6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Verse 7 is where I want to kindly look at this evening. I don't want to take this out of context, but I want you to try to see what Paul was saying, because Paul was saying, you did run well. You did run the race well. And then he says, who hindered you? He didn't say what. What thing hindered you? And I can look into some of that stuff. But he was saying, but who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? In other words, it is Christ Jesus that's going to get you and I across the finish line. And he said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. So, Father, we thank you again today. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, God, for what you are doing in this room. I thank you, Father, for the anointing that's been here this morning. I pray, God, that you take this morning's message and, God, drive it home into our heart today. Let us not leave here the same as we came. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I'm going to preach this message today as if I'm talking to our young people or a new convert or a new believer. So if you're an aged person today and you have your life together and you have your act together and you never have any temptations, you never have any struggles, you never have any trip up or nothing like that, this message may not be for you. But it may be for those people that still find themselves in this world struggling just to get through another day. Now, that may not be anybody in this room. I have no idea. But when Paul was writing this, Paul could possibly have been writing this to young converts there in Galatia and or aged converts. But whatever the case may be, Paul wanted to emphasize not to allow anyone to trip you up. In other words, don't allow anyone to, once again, put your life back into the bondage that you were in prior to your conversion. In the world that we're living in today, we are living in a messed up world. It don't take me long to explain that. We're living in a world today that has almost abandoned Jesus and almost abandoned their faith. Has almost abandoned anything and everything to do with God and the church or Christian religion, if you will. We're living in that kind of day. We're living in a day and an hour where it seems as if there's more evil influence than there is good influence. So I would tell our young people today, you've got to finish this race that you have started out on. Again, we look into the scripture, and I'll let Kathy put it up there for you. 1 Corinthians 15, very familiar section of scriptures that we all know. I remember where this scripture came to me in verse number 33, and it opens like this. And a friend of mine, he put this on Facebook, and he said this was always his verse that he reminded his son about. Now, his son is aged, and his son is grown. One of his sons went through military academy, and the other one's a youth director somewhere up in Virginia, maybe, or something like that. I don't know all the details of the ins and outs of it, but he would always put this verse on the scripture. And he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you read in other versions of that, it would use the word, be not deceived. Evil company corrupteth good manners. So what would I be saying there when it says, you did run well, but who did hinder you? Those of us that look at verse number 34. He says this in the scripture. He says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, I'm not going to take the time to expound on all that. But once you've come to the knowledge of the truth and you know better, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him and to sin. You can tell I'm trying to hurry. I need to slow down, just chill for a minute and get this right while I'm doing it. But we see here again, he says to awake to righteousness and sin not. We live in a world that, and I use the analogy, that's like a black hole that's trying to do everything that it possibly can do to pull our young people back, as Chris said earlier, back into a lifestyle that has not got anything to do with God, has not got anything to do with Christianity. And verse 33 again, it says this. I'm going to slow down and make myself slow down for a while. If I don't get done, I'll get done when I get done. And then he says here in 33, he says, be not deceived. Deception is filling our land. It don't take long to figure that out. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to get onto a soap dish this morning, and I don't want to get on a slippery slope. But when certain organizations and certain theme parks, I guess that's a nice way to say it without calling names, celebrate what they celebrate in today's world, we're in trouble. Did I say that really nice without calling names and saying things? Because a male is not supposed to be with a male in that way. And a female's not supposed to be with a female in that way. And they celebrate these things. And they're telling our young people, oh, you have to make up your mind when you get older what you are. I like Brother Fowler a few days ago when he was preaching on a Wednesday night. It don't take any of us in this room really long to figure out what we is. But our world today is telling our young people today, you be what you feel like you are. And then they mess them up in their head, and they mess them up. And this is nowhere in my notes. They mess them up in their head, and they think that God made a mistake. I remember reading in Jeremiah 29, your verse 11, or part of it, that says these very words. God said in the beginning that he knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb. That's what he says. And my friend, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I said that to say this. That if we're not really, really careful in the day and the hour that we're living in, people will mess you up. You did run well. You've got to finish the race. I've got to finish the race. If I had listened to all the voices that's ever been in my head from my youth to my adulthood, there is absolutely no telling today what I would be or where I would be. But I promise you, I would not be a Church of God preacher. I would probably be dead or in prison or really, really, really bad messed up right now if I had listened to all the voices in my head. Lauren Daigle has a song about the voices keep telling me. And I'm telling you today that we need to run this race. There's three things right off the bat when we look in 1 Corinthians 15. I've already mentioned the text, but he talks about this in verse number 33. He says that bad company, young people moving forwards, you say, well, they're my friend. A friend. But yet a friend is influencing you to do things that you should not do. And I'm telling you, the Bible says we need to flee from the very appearance of evil. And I'm going to be honest with you. If somebody has not got you at their heart, if they don't have you at the very center of what is good for you, I got a word for you. It's like Joseph when he fled from Potiphar's wife. Get out and get out now. Amen. Some people, my friend, they will abuse you and use you. And my friend, their intentions is never good towards you. So we have to be careful as they tell us as about in sobriety, and they tell us about things to do and not to do. The people sometimes that don't have you at heart, sometimes in order to finish the race well, you need to get away from people that are hurting you and harming you. Now, I told you, this may be for the young Christian. It may be for the novice. It may be for the beginner, for some of our young people. And if the rest of you have already got this all down pat and you're doing well, God bless you today. You've done well. But our young people today, at times, they're struggling. They're trying to figure it out. I'll never forget a time in my life, and I'm going to be real today. Can I be real? Can I be honest? That's about three of you. Well, I'm going to be honest anyway. I was in the welding shop. I had a buddy of mine that would smoke pot in the welding booth while I was welding, and we had big vents. He would be smoking pot, and I'd be welding. And I don't know that I ever traded off with him, but he done it while I did it. One day we were in the welding shop, and I had a little old Volkswagen. Y'all know what a Volkswagen is, a little round-top Volkswagen? Doodlebug, as we call them, Punch Bug Yellow. Some of you kids say them. What in the world does that mean? How many of you ever played Punch Bug? We'll leave that where it's at. But anyway, we done that as a kid. But I'll never forget, I was out there, Brother Russell, behind the welding shop. We were six or seven of us, five of us, whatever, in a Volkswagen. And then a guy in the back seat, I was sitting in the driver's seat, my car, he lit up a big joint in the back seat of my car, and I cringed as I sat there in that parking lot. Oh my God, I'm going to be in trouble forever. I didn't participate, but he was there. He said, be not deceived. Evil communications, evil company corrupts good manners. You need to be careful about the people you hang around. Number two, you need to be careful about the places you go. Well, I didn't drink when I went to the bar, but I was there with them when it was going on. I'll never forget in all my days. Am I too redundant? Am I too repetitive? I'll never forget in all my days the company that I was with when there was a bottle of tequila being passed around. I've told you the story. I've told you that before. Then it went all the way around the circle. It's my time to take a big drink, a big slug of the tequila. And all of a sudden, when I touched the bottle of that bottle of tequila and almost drank a drink of it, the Holy Ghost asked me a question. I didn't even know the Holy Ghost, but he knew me. He said, is this what you want to be the rest of your life? I handed that bottle back. I never drank a drink of liquor in my life. Never. I handed it back and I got up from that place. People, my friends, sometimes will be the influencers in your life that'll keep you from running the race and finishing the race. You need to run the race to finish the race. You did start well. And then the places you go, and then it talks about the people, the places. What's the last one? and the things you do. You need to keep your life pure before God in all the things that you do in life. We know the scripture, we know it really, really good, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I didn't give Kathy all these because I didn't know how far I would get. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and again, I'm not going to turn there, I'm just going to read it to you and we're going to look at it. But you look in verse number 23, and this is where Paul starts this. And this is where Paul was saying, you got to finish this thing. It's one thing to start the race, but it's another thing to finish the race. Now, I'll get into a few more things in just a second. I'm already on number 2 and I got 4, so I'm moving fast. What Paul was saying is that you've got to run with an eternal purpose. And I'll get a little bit more into that in just a second. You've got to run with an eternal purpose. 1 Corinthians 9 and 23 says this, and this I do for the gospel's sake. I do it for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. 24. So Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. How many of you know that all of us are running and we don't get our reward until we finish the cross, we cross the finish line? We don't get to hear well done until we get to glory. You say, well, I'm struggling right now, or I'm still on the journey. Hey, look, friend, we're all on the journey. We're not there yet, but I'm running the race. I am in the race. I might be in fourth place or sixth place, or I might be back at the end of the line limping. I don't know where I'm at in the race, but the point of the matter is I'm still in the race. Stay in the race. Stay in the race. And he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So Paul was saying, I'm running this race with a purpose. I'm running this race that I might cross the finish line and finish well. I done a funeral the other day, and that's the name of the song that they used at the funeral was Finish Well. I thought about that as I was reading this, or writing this scripture out and everything, that we've got to finish the race. We're all on a journey. Whatever you've got to do, finish well. Finish the race. And then he says here in verse 25, and he says, Paul again was talking, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Boy, that's a big mouthful right there, temperate. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That's going to be the attaboys. That's going to be the accolades of men. That's going to be, oh, you're doing a really good job, man. And all of that. Some people, and I know words of affirmation is a big love language. I understand that. But my friend, the things that I do so that the good Lord above will look at me one day and say, Alan Green, present, sir, you've done well. I want to hear him say when I get to the end of this race, you've done well. I don't care necessarily, as the Bible said, that we cannot do our service unto man to be men pleasers, but we do everything we do, listen, so that when we get to the end of the journey, that we can look back over our life and we can say that the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I think about, and I don't have time to get tangled up and get in a stop mode right now, but I can remember all the people along my journey of life that's encouraged me. Just keep on running. I'll get into Hebrews 11 a little bit tonight, but you to keep on running that race. Oh, yes, you might be tired. Oh, yes, there's challenges along the way. Oh, yes, there's adjustments that happen all along the way. But I remember people, and I'm not going to start calling names, but one that's going all the way back to my youth and my childhood, and the funeral that I'm doing tomorrow is Sister Birchfield. Hey, she was a blessing to my life, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but my friend, she was 98 years old. I pastored her when I first started a church 30 years ago. I've known her all these years, and her husband, I done her funeral's husband years ago, but they've always been an inspiration to me. Why do you need to keep running? Because you're bringing people from behind you. You're bringing people along with you. And people are watching you, and people are watching me, and I've got to keep running, not only for me, but I've got to keep running for the generations behind me, the children behind me, the young people behind me, you and each other and us. We've got to run this race together. And he says, again, when you look at this, he says, they run the world. And I don't mean to get on the world, but I'm going to get on the world just a little bit here in a minute. The world, so that they can acquire a corruptible crown. Now, this is the third thing. Stick with me for a minute. And this is tying this scripture with the next place I'm going. So we got to run for the prize. We got to be careful of those hindrances along the way. You didn't run well, but who hindered you? So we got to be careful for the hindrances. We got to run for the prize. And then the third thing, don't let things of the world become your God. G-O-D, little g. Or big G. And you say, well, I thought we were talking about success, and we were talking about merit, and we was talking about achievement in life. We are talking about achievement in life and merit in life. But don't let those things of life take the place of your God. Don't let those things in life become a God to you. I know people, and you've seen it with your own eyes, people that's worked all their lives, killed themselves almost, working for the things of this world. And it seems like to gain position and to gain influence and to gain more possessions. But yet in the working of 60 and 70 and 80 hours a week, what did they do? They lost their children. They lost their wives. They build houses, they buy cars, and they buy boats. And I'm not against none of those things. But they do all of those things and forsake the very thing that's most important. And that, my friend, is quality time with family and being together. And serving God. And I'm not trying to be ugly and mean today. And it's so hard today to get... we deal with it, and we've dealt with it, and we've all dealt with it. But it's hard to get families even together today. It's hard to even get families to eat dinner together. It's hard to get somebody, and I was talking about yesterday, I don't remember who it was, but talking about maybe Horace, I don't know, or somebody, I don't know. But years ago, they would. I remember this. Going by and seeing mom and daddy on Sunday and going by on Sunday afternoon after church and mom or dad or whoever, family would have dinner ready because they knew the kids was coming over. We don't do that no more. But we've sacrificed. And I mean, we've adjusted and we just do the best we can with what we got. We deal with it. We all deal with it. But here's the thing. So to graduates and to young people, to those today that may need this message, and maybe even those that don't need this message, I don't know. Because I never try to figure out who I'm preaching to. I just preach what I feel like God's given me. What do you do about that if you're going to finish the race? Brother Scott mentioned it in Sunday school. And again, I'm not going to take the time to talk about every bit of it. But Matthew chapter 6 and 33. I learned at a very young age this verse of scripture, and this is very imperative. Somebody says you got to keep first things first. No matter what you do in life, wherever you go in life, I don't care if you graduate from the top school in the United States of America or whatever the case may be. If you're going to finish the finish line, or if you're going to cross the finish line, excuse me, if you're going to hear him say finish well, you got to do this. You got to do this. And this is a big little five-letter word. He says, but seek ye first. Seek God first. In other words, inquire of God and see what God thinks about it. See what God would have for your life. Chris and me both, we both did not know I'd end up doing what I was doing. I had no clue I'd end up being a pastor. I had no clue. Matter of fact, I wasn't seeking to be a pastor. I wanted to work at Pepsi and preach a little here and there and evangelize and fill in for lazy preachers. That was my goal. I just wanted to do a little here and a little there. If a preacher wanted a weekend off, I wanted to just go fill in for him, you know. But God changed all that. And I'm not going to bore you with that part of the story. But it says, seek ye first. The young rich ruler is the example today we find in the book of Mark. We're not turning there. I only want to mention it. All these things have I done from my youth up. He was really religious. He kept all the rules. But who did hinder you? Jesus told him, go and sell what you have. What would we do today if God told us that? Jesus told those disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. In essence, he was telling you, you've got a cross to bear. You've got to do what I've called you to do. And all these other things will fall in place. Are you with me today? Fourthly and lastly, told you I was going to preach fast. So the fourth thing is this. Sometimes, seek God first. The last thing is this. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we see this in the scripture. Sometimes you've got to evaluate your life and see what's the most important in your life. And sometimes we have to do a personal inventory. And sometimes we have to get rid of things that really don't need to be a part of who we are. Because again, when Paul was writing this, we consider Paul to be the writer of the book of Hebrews. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. He said, let us lay aside every weight. If we're going to finish well, if we're going to cross the finish line, we got to finish well. And then he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Some things are not sinful, but some things will stop you from finishing or crossing the finish line. And he says, so let us run with patience. Run with patience. That race that is set before us. We've got to run the race. Run. Paul said, just leave that there for a minute. Paul said this in the scripture. Paul said that he finished his course. And he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but to all of them that love his appearing. Now watch this. This is really good here at the end. Sometimes the pain that you're going through now really will not come to fruition when you see what God has at the end of the journey. You might think, well, I'm going through suffering. I'm going through pain. I'm going through all this anguish right now. I'm trying to get through this life. These young people just finished a milestone in their life. When Carly was in the sixth grade, using her as an example, she might not have been able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. All she seen was she'd already been in school 6 years and she had six more to go, and she was ready to get out of school at the sixth grade. You know what I mean? But you endured and you stayed patient and you stayed in the race. And guess what? Last week when you walked across that stage, I saw the picture or whatever it was, that you got your diploma, and at the end of it, it was, yay, hallelujah, well done, and all that pain was behind you. I learned that this week about pain. I tell Sherry from time to time, I said, and this is me, you may not operate the way I operate, but this is me. I said, pain is secondary to my success, because if I worry only about the pain, I'll never get done what I need to get done in life. I'll never keep going. I'll never push myself. I said, pain is secondary to my success. I learned that in the woods this week. I learned a lot in the woods, and I learned a lot in the wood shop, because I listen when I'm there, and that's my concentration time and away from all the stuff that I could be distracted by. You say you learned it in the woods. Yes, this week, I told Dr. Dean last week, I said, I want to spray these woods up here. And I said, we've spent a lot of money and we worked hard to get that cleaned up. I want to spray it. So I went this week with Charlie, her cousin Wood, down to Denton, and I bought some weed brush killer stuff. So, and Michael Pittman, I borrowed a backpack sprayer. So I thought I was 25 year old, Steve. I went over here to Jim and I filled that joker up. 4 gallon. I thought it won't be that bad. I forget I'm getting older. So I've been over at my truck, Jesse, and I put it right here, and I got it on my strap, and I automatically felt, oh, you know, like, oh my goodness. So here I go hobbling up through the yard, you know, and I finally straightened up. And then I got it pumped up, and I sprayed for 3 hours. At the end of 3 hours, carrying a 35-pound backpack all over the woods up there, I couldn't hardly walk. And on this strap on my shoulder, and it's like, oh my goodness, the pain. So I kept going the 3 hours or whatever it was, three and a half hours. And I'm not saying that for you to be sorry for me and, oh yeah, preach, if you let me know, I'd have done it. That's not even the issue. I enjoy being out there doing stuff. I'm not going to sit at home and listen to frogs croak. And so I thought about that when I thought about this message. I thought about, because sometimes as you go through life, right now, everybody in this room, because of the nature of the day, we could all throw our hands up and say, well, by golly, I'm just going to throw my hands up and quit. I'm not going back to church. I'm not going, I ain't doing it no more. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. That could be our attitude. But we're not that way. So whatever you're going through right now, the adversity or the pain or whatever, whatever it is. Well, I'll use me again as my analogy. I came by yesterday that Sherry was in a ladies' meeting and I was still doing things that I do on a day-to-day basis. I went by the woods up there and I looked over there and I said, yep, they're dying. The pain of me doing that on Thursday is gone. My shoulders is good. I'm not sore. I'm good. But I thought the success of what I done Thursday is the proof that the work was done. And I think about that in this, when we got to lay away the weights and the sins and the things that so easily beset us. And let us run this race with patience. If I would have laid this thing down, I could have probably walked around the woods a lot light-footed, but I never got the job done. A lot of times we have to go through life and understand that it might be a little bit of pain for right now. Might be a little bit hard right now. But you know, when you hear the Lord say at the end of the journey, well done. Hey, it'll be worth it all. Stay in the race. Don't give up. Young people, even though I've got Carly here today and other young people, don't give up. You've done a great job. You finished the race. You finished this portion of your life. And for the rest of us that are old and whatever. I pick on Raymond a lot. Of course, Raymond picked on me a lot when I first came here. I pick on Raymond sometimes because Raymond talks about going to heaven, just ready to go to heaven, ready to die, check out, get on out here. That might not be his exact words. I understand his sentiments. I understand. I talk to other elderly people. And all their way, I talk to them. I'm just waiting to die. I talk to them. Anybody in the room waiting to die? I mean, I talk to older people. It seems like we get that in our head. I'm just waiting to die. But you know, waiting to die, you've got to be strong and focused until you do. Because we got to, I'm not 60 yet. Somebody says, you're just a young kid. Thank you very much. I received that. I got a lot to learn. I'm just a young whippersnapper, wet behind the ears. I'm still a greenhorn. I'm still young. I'm still young, and I received that. I got a lot to learn. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got to be focused until the Lord calls me out of here. Older people, don't you get weary in well-doing. Don't you get to the end of this thing and say, well, I might as well just ride this thing on out of here. But you lose your heart, you lose your focus. Don't lose your heart, don't lose your focus. You don't know how many young people you still have in to be able to influence. I'll pick on Bobby and then I'm done. And I've said this at least once before. We went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. When Charlotte got sick, Bobby had to fly home. Put him on an airplane from Louisiana, flew him home. We were all there. There's several of us there. Wayne was there. I don't know who all was in the room that was there with us. I was, you know, tired. We was over there getting in our sleeping bags, getting ready to go to sleep. No Bobby over there. He wasn't in his sleeping bag. Man, he put me under conviction that night. Bobby got down beside his little backpack and all his little stuff, and he started praying. He wasn't shy about it. He prayed so we'd all hear. The more he prayed, the deeper I slid in that sleeping bag in shame. You didn't know that I was feeling that. And I said all that to say this, that Bobby's always inspired me to stay in a race, stay faithful. I'm just using Bobby as an example, but the rest of you are the same way to me because I'm a little greenhorn, remember? I'm a whippersnapper. I'm just starting out on this journey called life. I'm a young guy. So the rest of you are just starting out. I mean, I'm just starting out. I'm watching you. You're watching me. I'm your pastor, but you're still influencing me. I'm, you know, the lady that I'm going to do her funeral. I'm going to use this scripture to mark the funeral. Only scripture I'm going to use. Because she taught it to me. Her husband taught me a scripture. When I was a younger greenhorn, a younger person. I was about 28 years old, 29. She said in 1 Timothy, you don't need to turn there, but it said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. She taught me that scripture years ago. Her husband told me, you know how to get rid of the devil, don't you? I said, no, how's that? He said, Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. You can't entertain the devil. Just don't. He said, I don't pay no attention to him. That's mountain talk. I still got mountain talk in me. I know how to do it. Thank you, Reva. Reva and I know some of the same people. Just don't pay no attention to him. What'd you say? Stand with me. Why'd you say that? You gotta stay focused. If you're going to get to the end of the journey and hear the Lord say, well done, don't be distracted. T.D. Jakes said one time, I was listening to him. I'm not a big fan of him anymore, but he said something years ago. He said, hey, sometimes through life, there's these things that's called the gnats and flies of life. Gnats and flies. They're not really there to hurt you. They're just there to irritate you. They ain't nothing more irritating than a gnat to get around your eye. Or of something like a mosquito. I told Sherry there's a mosquito in my bedroom this morning, big as a helicopter. We're in the bathroom. Not really, just playing. Just playing. But it was a big one. I went in there and said, man, that was a big mosquito. What? Yeah. It's just those things that's aggravating you. Just the little gnats and flies of life. They're not there to really harm you, or they can't really harm you per se. But then get your distraction. I don't know. It's just what I felt today that I'm supposed to preach. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope something spoke to your heart. So, Father, we love you, honor and praise you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you, God, for the word of the Lord that endureth forever. The word of God that'll stand when the world's on fire. Father, let us run this race. Let us run this race to finish this race. To hear you say, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. Father, I thank you for the word of God today that changes not. Father, may this word be an encouragement to somebody today that needed to hear the word of the Lord, that needed to hear somebody challenge their life to stay in the race today. Father, it's easy for all of us to get weary in well-doing. It's easy for all of us to be distracted. It's easy for us to be influenced by people and things around us. But God, I pray even right now that you would encourage this church. Help us, God, all to be found faithful to you and focused. Father God, I pray. Touch our young people today. Touch us and help us, God, to be found faithful and to do the work you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Church time is 6:00 tonight. We'll see you then. And we're going to be talking about faith and works tonight. Faith and works.